Well, good morning. Welcome to Valley Lights Church. Good to see you all. This Sunday, we're actually going to be wrapping up a series that Bruce started about 3 weeks ago called Low and Slow. And in this series, we've been looking at chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. And I've actually been over in Kids Zone the last month, so it's been fun following along remotely, not being in the room, and just hearing what Bruce has been talking about. But basically, one of the key things that Bruce has been taking us back to is most of us live with a drive to go fast and be first and come out on top. And this approach is just native to us, but it's basically, it can be really damaging. And it can leave us feeling very empty in the end. And the better approach is to kind of counterintuitively go low and slow. And the humble approach tends to be very inefficient, but has some surprising rewards. So that's what we've been kind of going through. Today, we kind of tack this one on because we have this beautiful milestone that we're celebrating today. Some people would call this Palm Sunday, and we'll be talking about some palms. I want to suggest maybe a different name for it. I'm going to call it Donkey Sunday today, and you'll find out a little reason why. But it lines up really, really well with this humble approach. And honestly, as I've been studying for this message, God has just bubbled up a ton of things that he's been teaching me in this area of humility. So if I get emotional, we'll see what happens. Hopefully not. But God's taught me a lot about these things. And every time in my walk with God that I feel like, oh man, I'm becoming a more humble person. I've got this humility thing figured out. I realize there's farther to go. But I've been as I was listening to this series, I just started thinking about a lot of just different things that I've done throughout my life to try to show other people how great I am. I just tend to think I'm just great. And you know what? I'm betting that you probably think you're pretty great too. Even on our days when we get down on ourselves, we think we're pretty great. So one story that that came to my mind when I was kind of thinking about this was, I actually have a lot of stories in the same vein, sadly. But I was in Cub Scouts when I was in elementary school. And our scoutmaster had said, hey, let's do a show and tell. So I looked around our house to try to find the best things that I could think of that I could show and tell, and I got a great idea. At this time, I mean, I was probably like 6 or 7, but I had accumulated quite a trophy collection. And so I thought to myself, hey, this would be great. I'm going to load up all my trophies. So I started packing. I actually had to use my dad's army duffel bag because I didn't have enough room in it, just a standard backpack for all my trophies and things. But I started packing it with trophies, ribbons, certificates, anything I could get in there. And so I go to the show and tell. The first one I pulled out was probably like a baseball participation trophy. And honestly, the first one went pretty well. I think they thought it was pretty cool. By the second or third, the room was pretty flat. You could tell something wasn't quite right. By the 15th or 20th minute of me pulling out things to show people of my various ribbons and achievements, you could tell this was not going well. In fact, I think even at that age, I could read the room and say, these people hate me right now. This is not good. I mean, how many participation trophies can you show off, you know? Now, I obviously have grown up. I have never done this again. I learned from that mistake. I never did this again. I learned a very valuable lesson, actually, that day. But sadly, though I've gotten older, I still do this. And I've definitely gotten a lot more slick in how I do it. But I've got a lot of trophies that I show off in various different ways. Things that I own or have owned in the past. Where I live, the car I drive a Toyota Corolla. Nothing to sneeze at. It's nothing to write home about either. But, you know, it's got a nice paint job, so I'm not embarrassed driving around in it. The work that I do, I'm very proud of that. My wife, my kids, All the different things that God has given me that have been blessings to me, trips that I've taken, places that I've gone, famous people that I've met. Bruce talked about that, I know, the other week. People that I associate with, my friends, all of these can be little trophies that I try to show off to people and get a little status, get people to see, man, that Barry, he's a great guy. So I don't have to stand up here or have the opportunity to stand up here in front of the church and tell you guys what a great guy I think I am. Unfortunately, that's kind of baked into it. But I think we all kind of do this. And I really think we do this this game where we bring things up. And one problem that I miss a lot of times is how this actually affects the people that are around me, the relationships that I'm in. The way that I view myself and seeing myself as really great is extremely damaging in the relationships that I'm around. And it sneaks up on me, honestly. I've really been on, again, as I was studying for this, I'm thinking back over all the years of my life, and I'm going, man, I have been on a lifelong quest to lift myself up or put myself in the best possible position in actually every single area of my life. I would like to say I'm really good at it, but I try really hard at it. And this has some really difficult things that show up in my relationships. Like, here's a good example. Why is it so hard to let anyone go first? You think about that? Why is that hard? Like, we're dealing with this a lot with our children right now, where it's constantly who gets to do whatever first. And you go, why is that important? Well, I do this. It's really, really hard. And I'm not talking about like the nebulous, like on the freeway kind of stuff. In my work, if there is an opportunity where me and a coworker have similar goals and I need it mine done and he needs his done, I'm going to try to figure out a way to get it done first. Why is that? Why is that so important to me? Why is it, this is really hard with kids. It's like, why is it so hard for me to stop what I'm doing and help them with something? Or in my work, there's a lot of times where people just call me up. I'm like in a dead focused project. And it is so difficult for me to stop what I'm doing and say, I'm going to stop and I'm going to help you accomplish your goal. Why is that so difficult? Why is that so hard? Or here's another one that's kind of smaller, but it shows up in this as well, as when we're talking about things we want to do in our family, and I really get excited about something, I really want to do something. Why is it so hard to say, you know what? Let's just do what it's fine. Any of you guys want to do, let's do that. Why is it that I get so excited and want to fight for what I want to do? I think there's a ton more examples that we can really think about. But the basic point for today, and you'll see this at the top of your handout, is that we tend to lift ourselves up rather than to humble ourselves. This is our native tendency. In pretty much everything that we do, and again, you don't have to admit, I've done it for us. I've admitted that I think I'm really great, and I try to get the best deal for my life. You don't have to admit that, but I really do think that that's something that's just baked into us. We really tend to try to lift ourselves up rather than humble ourselves. And today, we're 1 week out till we celebrate Easter Sunday, and we basically celebrate on that day, a day when Jesus humbled himself and gave himself for us. Today, we're celebrating Palm Sunday, when Jesus came into Jerusalem as part of an event that basically led to the most supreme act of sacrifice that's ever been done. And in something really interesting happened. This event that's normally called the triumphal entry, it's Jesus triumphantly coming into Jerusalem, bubbled up into a very unique display of honor and just excitement. So we're going to see some pictures in just a second. But as we look at this story that comes out of Matthew 21, we're going to see an opportunity when the crowd sees how great Jesus is, and we can see how he reacted to the situation. I know how I would react, but we're going to see how Jesus would reacted here. But again, this was called the triumphal entry because Jesus came into Jerusalem. This was prophesied a long time ago. Actually, we're going to read about that in just a second. But Jesus was coming into Jerusalem in a manner that fulfilled prophecy and also was kind of a catalyst or a beginning to the events that were going to lead to him going to the cross for us. So it's a very unique day, and this is actually a really unique passage of Scripture in general because this is found in all four gospel accounts. So that's interesting. There's not a lot of stories where each of the gospel writers said, this is so important that we're going to put this in there. God inspired these four writers to share this same story. That's interesting. We should definitely take notice of that. One of them, maybe another story, would be the feeding of the 5,000. That's found in all four gospel stories. Today, we're going to just be looking at Matthew's account of this, but I think that's interesting that God highlighted this. And so I think as we celebrate this Palm Sunday, or as I'll call it, Donkey Sunday, we should take note that this is something really particularly important. So what we're going to do is we're going to read Matthew 21, 1 through 11 real quick, which kind of fleshes out this story. It says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. So we're reading here. We're six verses in, and we're still talking about the donkey. Okay? So just highlighting that real quick. In verse 8, it says, a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shout, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heavens. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and said, who is this? This is really exciting stuff. I really love this story because it's a rare moment where it seems like people were getting what I believe about Jesus. I grew up in a home that my parents would bring us to church, and I think at a very early age I realized Jesus is not just unique. He is the king. He's powerful. He is great. And it seems like this crowd, they're cutting down branches, they're putting down their cloaks. It seems like they get it too. And so it's a really exciting picture. I actually have some pictures here. This was the coolest one my wife and I could find because it's like kind of like a zoomed out version. It's a painting. So they could catch some details maybe that others didn't. You have Mary there taking it all in. The palms. Here's another one from the show The Chosen. It's maybe a little bit more accurate, a little narrower street, but still, this is exciting. If you would have gone to this back then, they didn't have the internet. They didn't have social media. They didn't have sports. This is awesome. This is really awesome. I grew up in New Orleans. Parades are awesome. If you haven't been to a parade, it's awesome. This one would have been especially awesome because this just did not happen. So Jesus comes in. And the crowd is excited about what's going to come. But from the very beginning, this story is really interesting because you kind of get an idea. What they thought Jesus was coming to do was not what he was coming to do. He was coming as a king. But look at this, the first thing. So he came on a donkey, a humble, common creature. I don't know about you, but there's probably not a more humble, silly creature in the world than the donkey. Here's another picture. So you got the ears thing going for it. Honestly, it is ridiculous. Just Google donkey sometimes. You'll have a good time. So this is a donkey. The poor thing, if it ever opens its mouth, looks like this. Every picture of a donkey, you'd think this was like, yeah, Hollywood couldn't make this up. This donkey is just a silly looking creature. And I have another one on there. The best pictures of it where it looks most noble is when it's like carrying stuff. Like there's lots of pictures of donkeys loaded up. They were a common animal that was used for carrying things around. If anybody's ever been on a farm or whatever and seen the donkeys, it's not impressive work that they do. They eat a lot of thistles. They can protect your property. They carry stuff. That's it. I have a picture here of a horse. Actually, so there's another embarrassing picture of a donkey. They just get worse from there. That took me a long time to even put these together because I actually think these are pretty good donkey pictures. This took 2 seconds. That's a horse. A horse is like a donkey, but much, much more beautiful, much more regal. When you look at the horse, it's powerful. It's impressive. The person who rides on a horse, especially a king that rides on a horse, is a conqueror. He's powerful. He's coming to take what is his. He came on a donkey. So let's go back to the donkey picture here. It's a humble creature that he came on. And there will be a day where Jesus will come on a horse at the end of all this. But in this, he came on a donkey. In fact, that last picture, you can honestly even see that like his feet kind of hang down low on it. A very, very humble creature. I don't think it's coincidence that so much of this story, I mean, we just read 11 verses and 6 of them were about this, the procurement of a donkey. This is very, very, very important. In fact, this is if you have your highlighter out and you're highlighting your Bible and saying, yeah, this donkey thing is kind of important, circle really big that this was prophesied. Like our God, this was important enough of an image that our God prophesied it thousands of years before, let them know, hey, he's coming on a donkey. This story is really, really, really interesting. So the crowd's yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna. You may have heard that before, Hosanna. Hosanna means save us. Save us. If you're looking for a use of this word, Psalm 118:25 says, save us, we pray, O Lord. So the people are crying out, save us, save us. And they thought that Jesus was the Messiah, and they were right. They thought he was coming to save them from the oppression of the Roman Empire that was their king, that was their ruler, that he was going to be the king, and from now on, they were going to have their land, they were going to have their people, and they were going to be a nation. But the Messiah that was coming, since what we know, is he was coming for something much bigger. The highlight of this moment, the power of this image of people cutting down branches, taking off their cloaks, putting them down on the dirty ground. It was a highlight moment. But from this moment, the road was going to get low. It's hard for me not to get emotional about this stuff. I think of every movie hero I've ever got excited about. And I think this image of a man who's powerful, humbling themselves for other people, is extremely powerful. When I think about Christ, who I want to be, who I want my sons to be, this humbling is actually overwhelming. So sorry for, it's Donkey Sunday, okay? I'm gonna cry a little bit. But this is such a powerful picture here that Jesus in this moment is king, and he is coming triumphantly, but it wasn't to lift himself up. He was coming to sacrifice himself for our sake. So it's really, really, really powerful. This is obviously a very interesting story. And the crowd of people that were worshiping him, they were worshiping him as this conquering king that he was going to take over and everything was going to be okay. And like I said before, that will come. He will come back riding on a horse, like the Bible says, to make all things right. But in this moment, if he didn't humble himself, the true work that needed to be done would not be done. So why did he do it this way? As I kept reading this story, I kept like really racking my brain and going, how would I do this differently? I'm in sales. I have a little bit of a marketing background. So I get really excited about thinking about all the potential here. I mean, this is a hot commodity. If you're talking about influencers and stuff, Jesus coming in on this day should have been a day to send his name into the stratosphere. I would make sure that the route, I mean, I don't know how many roads into Jerusalem they have, but I would make sure that the route was the most prestigious route, that the most views would be given to Jesus. I would make sure the most important people were here. I would make sure that, again, this donkey situation got resolved, that he would be riding on the most impressive animal that he could. When I think about all the things that I've done in my life to try to lift myself up, it's that same misunderstanding that takes place. This isn't why he had come, to be lifted up. He came from up for us. And in my life, all the different times that I've tried to lift myself up, especially in my relationships to other people, I'm really, really missing the whole thing. I'm missing the mark. So I want us to direct to a verse or a passage that gives us kind of an insight into the kind of mindset of our Lord that leads him to come in this way. And it's Philippians 2, 5 through 8. And he says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus. So we're going into Jesus' mind here. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even to death on a cross. So what are the some of the things that we say here, or see here? He was in very nature God. He didn't consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the nature of a servant. Not the nature of a king, but a lower nature, a servant. Someone who serves other people. Not the one who serves or is served, but the person that serves. And being found in appearance human, a man, flesh and blood, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, not just death, the worst death possible. This is an unbelievable mystery. How can God do anything other than lift himself up? Because he's glorious, he's powerful, he's deserving. I think that all the time. I deserve better. He is the only one that actually deserves better. But he did that for our sake, for us. What a powerful illustration of the love of God. The one who didn't need to, that he humbled himself for us. When I think about the times that I've had to humble myself, it just burns. It hurts. It's humbling. It's hard. I don't like to do it. But God humbled himself just an unbelievable degree for our sake. Much lower than I'll ever do. So there's two really powerful things that I want to highlight in this passage for us today when we ask the question, you know, why is this important? Why would anybody want to do this? Well, one reason is that Jesus is the ultimate example of humility. That was the way he did it, from wire to wire. Came in a manger. Okay, no, there's in a manger in a stable. Like, there's not much lower place that you could start. But Christ went lower than that. So he started all the way through. He was humble. And so if we are followers of Christ, if we've made him the boss of our life, how could we expect that this journey of life is going to be anything other than humbling? The second thing is, and this is kind of like a highlighter moment as well, is it's very clear here that God the Father, from his throne, highly values humility. So in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, he says, "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place." This is Jesus. "Because Jesus showed this kind of humility, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So what do we do with this? Be humble. Easy. We can go. No, it's really difficult. But if we look at this really, if we try to break this down to a narrower area, this Philippians 2, 5 through 11 starts with saying, in relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So maybe universal blanket humility is too lofty for us, but we can start, and we can actually start this week by being humble in our relationship to one another. Kind of that's the example of this passage here. So Paul uses this clear explanation of the humility of Christ to encourage us to relate to each other in this kind of humility. So if we're going to be like our Lord and Savior, this is the way that we do it. So let's look at a couple characteristics from this verse. And you can see I put these on the handout kind of a little bit more condensed, but how can we choose a lower position? How do we lower ourselves, get off our high horse and get on the donkey road? How do we do that? How do we possibly lower ourselves? So one clue here is that we seek the advantage of others. And each one of these kind of goes a little bit lower. So we'll talk about each one. But in Philippians 2:6, he says, "Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage." So Christ's example is that he is God. He is equal with the Father. But he didn't see that as something to use to his own advantage. So we're not God. We're not equal with God, but we're equal with each other. We're all just humans here today. So as we live in community with each other, we're equal. Your goals are as important probably as my goals. But one thing that we can do is we can seek the advantage of each other in the relationships. The same way that Christ said, "Hey, listen, I don't take my equality with God something to be used to my own advantage. I can say my equality with any of you, I'm not going to use to my own advantage. I actually want your goals above my own goals." That's our first heart attitude. One of our core values as a church is to put the goals and interests of others above my own. That's one way we do that. A more specific way that I've seen this lately, and again, this message, there has been a season of growth that's happened before. Bruce asked me to do this message that, it's unbelievable the things that God has shown me in my life. But one thing is that's tied into this seeking the advantage of others is really listening and working to understand when I talk to people. That's amazingly humbling because I really just think that when I hear somebody, just a little bit of what they say, that I totally understand. I totally get it. I'm wrong. I don't. And it's very humbling work to really understand people. The way this has shown up a lot in my marriage to my wife is that there's been a breakdown in communication a lot of times because I just assume I know what she's talking about, but I've never done the hard work of actually understanding her. We've been working on this, and we'll continue to work on this. But it's really humbling work, but honestly, the fruit that has come from that humbling has been deeper intimacy, deeper understanding of one another. And honestly, I see that she can see that I really care. I've seen the same thing in my coworkers. It turns out it wasn't just my wife that I was having trouble listening to. My customers, my clients, the people that I work with, it's really, really difficult, but it's taken this kind of opening my eyes to the fact that I'm not humble enough to really listen to people. To really seek their advantage means I'm going to actually care enough that I really want to know what they're saying. This has been really helpful. The next thing would be really considering, again, this is going to sound really basic, but it's really not. Consider how what I'm doing will impact the other person and choose the way that's better for them. Sounds really basic. I recently was working on a very, very large project where I was having to do a lot of really boring work for hundreds of accounts over and over and over. And I found the most efficient way that I could possibly do it. Well, the problem is at the end of that rainbow was a ton of work that I just dumped on a whole team of people, and it really destroyed their work process. I realized afterwards I really needed to clear that up with them because I wasn't considering them at all. If I would have done it even just slightly different, it would have saved them a whole lot of work. And would it achieve their goal? And it would have been in a considerate way that we both could have gotten it done. It just would have maybe taken me a little bit longer. But basically, by seeking the advantage of others, it's going to take humbling. Like, I'm going to have to humble myself to do this. I'm going to have to take a lower position. The second thing is to seek to serve other people. Again, this is going a little bit lower. It's not just I'm considering people, but I'm actually going to put on the waiter's towel over my arm, and I'm going to actually help out. I'm going to serve. So in Philippians 2:7, it says, "Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." So Jesus, who is God, put himself in human flesh, and he served us in all kinds of different areas. He served. But this really is a challenge to me that I have all kinds of goals and things that I'm going after every single day. But to be able to look around at the relationships that are around me and to stop what I'm doing, to choose to serve other people, sometimes can be a really, really challenging thing. Obviously, I have responsibilities that have to get done. I have to provide for my family, all that sort of thing. But I can leverage my life to really help a lot of people around me in a lot of different ways. But when I come to that fork in the road, what do I do? It doesn't have to be every single time that I stop what I'm doing. I'd never get anything done. But how many times do I look around at the people around me and say, you know what, I really could help out here. Or I'd like to help out. I could use my gifts and skills to the advantage of somebody else. It's really what Christ modeled for us, and it's an opportunity that we have. The final one is maybe the lowest level. And maybe the hardest one for us to wrap our mind around. But it says, seek to give your life for others. So in Philippians 2:8, it says, "In being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." As we celebrate Easter, we're celebrating the ultimate example of humility. The ultimate example of sacrifice. Such a powerful, powerful thing that our God did for us. And maybe you've noticed in your life that pretty much everything worth doing in life is going to cost you your life. For Christ here, he genuinely gave physically his life. And maybe this walk with God, one of us would be called to physically give our life in some way. But all of us can give our life to other people. As parents or as husbands, you realize pretty quickly, this thing's going to take my whole life. As you do your work, you've probably noticed, yeah, work, it takes your whole life. It takes all your time. It's going to take your life. But what about other people? There's a lot of ways that we can give our lives for other people. One is, taking the steps to share with people the good news of what Jesus Christ has done with them. That's going to take your whole life to do that. It takes a lot of time, a lot of thought, a lot of attention if you're going to be a part of that. Another one is, as we pull off this church is not here because Bruce showed up and we all just were like, hey, let's do a church. We have to team together. That's the only way this thing is possible. And honestly, it costs us our life to do this. And it's going to continue to cost us our life to do that. But God gives us opportunities as believers to be part of a much bigger work that he's doing as we give our life away. And so this is the call that we have here on Palm Sunday as we look to the donkey that Jesus rode on, the humble creature. It's such a reminder of the powerful truth that our King, when he didn't have to, humbled himself for us. It's really inspiring to me to want to be like that. I want to be like my Savior. I want to humble myself and serve. And really, I need you guys. Like, we need to do this together. Because as a church, that's the road that we're on. It's low, and it's slow. But it is a powerful road. The blessings that come out of it, and the closeness with God is, it's been one of my favorite things that I've discovered in life, has been that the more I lower myself, the more God is lifted up. It's almost as though that's the way I was made to be. So I put that on your handout, that little picture of the donkey. So as you celebrate your Palm Sunday, let's look to the donkey, to the example that God gave us. And I pray that it would lead us to not only worship God, but to humble ourselves to serve others. So let's close with a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come here and worship you. God, thank you so much that you sacrificed yourself for us. That when you could have been a dictator or a tyrant, you humbled yourself. You took care of your people. I pray that you would just use what we do here at this church as we humble ourselves. I pray that you would use it for your glory, that you would get all the honor. And I pray that people in Santa Clarita would be attracted to the beauty of you. And I pray that you would use this as a lighthouse for your truth in this community. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.